Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
And so I would invite you, if you would open your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Daniel. You'll see here on the screen, Daniel chapter 7. If you're new with us this morning, the book of Daniel, we've been looking at it throughout the fall here, and it is about two-thirds of the way through your Bibles, past some of the big books like Jeremiah and Lamentations, Ezekiel, and then it's right before the run of all those small minor prophet books. Hosea, Joel, Amos, and so forth. And so you'll find the book of Daniel tucked away there. We are in chapter 7. We have been here at Westview this fall looking at and exploring the life and witness of Daniel and his example of one of faithfulness to God in the midst of being in a foreign land. And what we've been trying to see is him navigate these heightened moments of tension where the kingdom of God collides with the kingdom of the world. And we've divided that into a couple of different pieces here. The first month we looked at, in September, we looked at what's called the character of Daniel. So who was he and how did he navigate these things from his own character? And then in October we looked at what was called the courage of Daniel and the different ways that he manifested courage and others as well, some of his friends, in ways that... in faithfulness to God. And now as we come to November, this is the third part of the kind of a three-part series of Daniel. We're looking at what's going to be called the concern of Daniel. And we're looking at that not because we're concerned that his character is going to falter or we're concerned that his courage is going to collapse. But we're calling it the concern of Daniel because some of these passages, when you get in this part of the book of Daniel, these passages could be described, and probably the best word I can come up with is trippy. There's these visions and interesting visions and visions that cause trouble and for Daniel to be troubled and for him to be disturbed. And we're going to find that he's concerned. Now, we might relate to this, whether it's visions themselves that we're going to read here or that are going to be honest, they're going to be hard for us to fully get our minds around what's all happening here. So that might be the visions, or it could be because of some completely other reasons going on that are leaving us troubled and disturbed. We maybe have concerns, and so we maybe are going to be able to relate to Daniel. And so we're going to come to this text and come to these texts over the next couple of weeks and see what can we glean as we walk alongside Daniel who expresses concern. Now, before we jump into this one, I'm going to be honest about today and over the next couple of weeks that these visions are a different kind of genre of scripture than in other places. These are not history. These are not gospels. These are not letters. It's apocryphal writing. It's different. And to be honest, no one can definitively understand everything that is fully going on. I'm going to share as best as I can. I'm going to try to attempt to unpack these visions as best I can. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I am relying on a whole bunch of people that are way smarter than me to help me out with this. But I hope that we can come to these passages and come together at these times. We're going to explore them as faithfully as we can and ask God, God, would you reveal to us, to each of us, what you would have us to receive? We do that every Sunday. We do that in prayer before we read and study God's word. So would you please join me in that prayer this morning? God, we come before your word, and it's always a joy. It's always good to do that together here in this space. But we also name, God, that especially today, but in the next couple weeks, and maybe every week, we come and we confess we don't always understand what the word is saying. And sometimes it's, how is this applicable to us? Why is it here captured in Scripture? So, but God, it's here. And we want to study it. And we want to study it together in a faith community. And we want to study it with faithfulness. And so, God, we know that's not going to be because of some smarts you give into somebody to speak or because you help us to listen, because we can listen really well or we have all this insight. God, it's going to happen because the Spirit's at work. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, as we've prayed before, open our hearts, open our minds, so that we might receive all that you would have for each of us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I would invite you to follow along with me, please, as we read together Daniel 7. Listen with me to these words from the book that we love. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion, and it had wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man and had a heart of a man was given to it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. On its back, it had 4 wings like those of a bird. This beast had 4 heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a 4th beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and 3 of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair on his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The courts were seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words of the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there and asked him the true meaning of all this. So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The 4 great beasts are the 4 kingdoms that will rise from the earth, but the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever, yes, forever and ever. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the 4th beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws, the beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also wanted to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before which the 3 of them fell, the horn that looked more imposing than the others, that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I watched, this horn was waging war against the saints and defeating them until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came when they possessed the kingdom. He gave me this explanation. The 4th beast is a 4th kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come before this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from all the early ones. He will subdue 3 kings. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times and a half a time. But the court will sit, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale. But I kept the matter to myself. Amen. I told you, trippy, yes? Now, we're going to spend some time this morning unpacking the vision of Daniel concerning these beasts, and we're going to name some of the good news that we read about of this Ancient of Days and the one who is like a son of man. But there's part of this passage that I can't get over. Despite beasts and despite this boastful little horn, this actually might be the most concerning part of the passage for me. And that's the last verse. The end of the matter, Daniel says. Daniel confesses at the end of all of this that he is deeply troubled by his thoughts, that his face is turning pale, and he keeps the matter to himself. It's as if after receiving this interpretation of this vision and hearing what should be this good news that's to come, it's almost as if Daniel's spirit is unresolved. I'm going to assure you this morning of one thing, that I have an incredibly limited knowledge of music theory, right? You do not want me to teach you any of the fundamentals of music. I am a self-taught hack who knows just enough from high school band to be very dangerous. So I'm going to use some terms and some phrases in the next few moments here that probably are not correct. They're absolutely wrong, but hopefully the point will be made. Okay, you with me? So when you have a song is in a key signature. It could be any key, not anyone, there's only certain letters, key of A, key of B, key of C, and so forth. And you have a song, when you have a key, there's only certain notes that you're supposed to play. And even within that song, especially when you play a song like songs that we heard just a few moments ago, there's chords or chord progressions in that song. There's certain chords that go with every key. With me so far? Music Theory 101, here we go. So when you play a song, and you play a song like this, I have this guitar up here. When you play a song, we'll use the key of G because every guitarist loves the key of G. It's the easiest by far key. You'll have certain chords that go in different orders. So let me just give you an example. You have the key of G. Here's the G chord. You hear it? Here's the G chord. And G, in the key of G, I think of, because I'm a sports guy, I think of G as kind of the home base, home plate. You start at home, you want to get yourself back to home. All right, so you start with G, and then the chord of C, then you have the chord of D, and then you get back to G. Isn't that nice? You start at G. Can you hear that? Now, sometimes you have these songs that get a little wild. They even throw another chord in there. So you have the chord of G, E minor. Woo, that's fun. C. We'll go back to E minor, to D. C, and then still you get back to G. And everybody's like, that's nice, right? Because you got back to home plate, right? You scored a run, I guess. We're mixing all sorts of metaphors this morning, right? So you have these chords, and when you play a song like the songs we just heard, you can play those chords, G, C, D, E minor, and there's some other ones as well. You can play them in all sorts of different orders, and that makes a song that we sing, and it's wonderful. And you have all the different things, but as long as you get back to home base, I'm so nervous to do this today. There we go. Get back. And you feel that, okay? You feel that? Getting back to home plate. Now, sometimes there's these songs out there that don't always end at home base. They leave the song what's called unresolved. And so you listen to some resolving of chords. Let me give you an example of that. We'll use the same key, right? So you have the key of G. E minor, we'll go to D. E minor, we'll go to C. And it stops right there. Can you feel the difference? Can you feel that? Like, now, most people, normal people, ever so desperately would want me to play that G at the end and get back to home plate there, right? And where the song is resolved, the chord progression is resolved. But there are a few odd people out there, and I'm not going to name any names, but she's employed by the church and has the director of worship title here. They like songs that are unresolved. And I want to see if you can hear that again. So they like the... And you just want that. And they love that. I just don't understand. And then, on top of that, there is something called sus. Now, it's not what the kids are saying, sus. I don't really know what sus means. Sustain? I don't know. It's something with, I don't know, I look at the keys over there. I don't understand what this is, but it is sus. I will put it that way. It is indeed sus, as the kids say it. So you have these, where it just, what it does is it builds the tension for the resolve, okay? So let me just give you a little example. Like I said, I'm very nervous to do this morning because, whew, I don't know, fingers aren't working. Here we go. So let me give you an example. So we're playing the key of G, and then we're going to go C, E minor, we're in. E minor, we'll go to C. And then we're going to go to G sus. Can you hear it? You want it? It's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Can't do it. Oh, I heard I heard someone say that. Yes. Can't do it. Because Daniel, even in the midst of the interpretation of this vision, even in what we're going to call some good news, there's still verse 28, that in the end, he is still deeply troubled and disturbed. Now, maybe we have a little bit of empathy with Daniel. I mean, we read this vision of these four beasts. It is not for the faint of heart. Maybe for some of us it sounds a little familiar. This vision coincides with the vision back in chapter 2 that we read about with Nebuchadnezzar. He had a dream about four beasts as well. And there we talked about how the interpretation is of these four beasts are the political succession of the nations that are to come. Well, this has a very similar feel to it. It is about these nations that are to come, but it takes it a step further, where in this vision it illustrates the depravity of the character of those kingdoms that are to come. And that leaves Daniel troubled and disturbed, where he has this vision of this first beast, and that is of a lion that has wings of an eagle that are torn off. And if you would go to where ancient Babylon was, and that's referencing Babylon here, you would see ruins of lions with angels with eagle's wings on them. The second beast is that of a bear that's on its side, has three ribs sticking out of its mouth, and it's told, eat all the flesh you want. And in that beast is about the Medes and the Persians, which came and took over three world powers to have dominion. Then we have the third beast, which is that of a leopard that doesn't just have two wings, but four wings. So you have a leopard, which is the fastest land animal, and wings, that's kind of four wings that connote speed. That's referring to the Greeks and the speed at which they covered the entire known world and conquered all of it. Think Alexander the Great. And then you have this fourth beast, of which no animal can compare to its terror and its fright and its extreme power. And many would associate this with Rome. And what we know about Rome, both before and during and after the New Testament was written time, those times, it does fit. Now, if that's not enough, Daniel's vision goes on. Within this vision, there is a final horn. The fourth beast has 10 horns, but there's this little horn that comes, and its size does not correlate with its might. Despite its stature, it says later that it is the most imposing. It immediately uproots 3 of those 10 horns. It has eyes that look like a person, and it has a mouth that repeatedly spews boasting, as it says in verse 8 and 11 and 20. It is the embodiment of unrestrained pride. It is also the embodiment of terror. We find later that it persecutes the saints. It is also pursuing self-deification. That is, it's trying to put itself in the place where only God belongs. It's trying to do the things that only God can do. That is, change the set times and laws. Some compare this boastful little horn to the nature of, or even the manifestation of, what one could call the Antichrist. Now, how's that for a nightmare? And I want us to put ourselves in the position of Daniel for a moment. He sees all of these beasts in their terrifying wonder, and he witnesses persecution against God's own people. And he hears this explanation, particularly about the fourth beast and the kingdom of that's going to devour and trample and crush down upon the earth. And Daniel has no idea in that moment when this is going to take place and what this is going to look like and how this is all going to come about. He only knows concern. It says, I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. Those words mean he's distressed, he's anxious, he's alarmed, he's frightened. Maybe some of us feel the same way this morning. Maybe it's not because of a vision that has passed through Daniel's mind, but maybe it's the disturbing news we heard on the nightly news last night, or the headlines we read on an app on the phone or in the newspaper. Maybe it's the pride and the greed, or dare we even say corruption, of those who are placed in positions of power, or maybe for some of us it's the erosion of morality and values that come from the teachings of Scripture that are disregarded in light of personal preferences. Or maybe it's the violation of rights, those who have no voice or are succumbing to the pressures of the system. Or maybe what disturbs us is the lack of care and protection for the unborn, as well as the lack of care and protection for those in need after they're born. Or maybe it's the rhetoric that's out there that only seems intent on stirring up the pot and eliciting hate for those on the other side. Or just simply a pride that is rooted in a self-promoted better-than messaging. I mean, I could go on with that. Maybe you would like to as well, but let's just name it. It's all concerning. There's so much in our world today that troubles my spirit and disturbs me. Whether it's about the world or the nation or even in church context, maybe you feel that as well. And maybe we mentioned it just a second ago, or maybe not, but something's on our heart and it is concerning. I don't think it's very hard for us this morning to relate to Daniel, to also carry within us his concern. And yet what's true for Daniel is also true for us. Within this vision, he is given good news. Within this vision, there's a powerful piece along with some explanation that provides some important words of hope and promise. Specifically, Daniel's vision captures a glimpse of how this will be resolved. Daniel is given this wonderful glance into the throne room of heaven, where God, the Ancient of Days, sits on his throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Eternal, the Almighty, the Sovereign One, who rules and who reigns. With the masses of heaven surrounding the throne, Daniel witnesses what amounts to be the judgment of the nations. They sit and the books are opened. And in that judgment, we find that this beast, this fourth beast, is found guilty, is slain, is destroyed. Later, we read the judgment announcement made by the Ancient of Days over the beast, as well as that boastful little horn. That's in verse 26. It says, the court will sit, and his power will be taken away, and he will be completely destroyed forever. We find that there is judgment that is found in the favor of the saints, and they will no longer be persecuted, and they will receive the kingdom of the Most High. And not only that, but further, Daniel, in his vision, sees the coming of what he describes as one like a son of man. He is welcomed into the presence of the Ancient of Days, and he, the son of man, is given authority and glory and sovereign power. He's worshipped by every people from every language, and it says his dominion is everlasting. His kingdom will never be destroyed. It's a kingdom of sovereignty, of power, of greatness, where every knee will bow and worship the Most High God. Finally, there is some good news, yes? And friends, you and I, we're in this journey of following Jesus. There's some good news for us. This is good news for us today. When all the terrifying powers and principalities of the kingdom of this world are colliding with that of the kingdom of God, when there are things that rightfully give us pause, things that make us hold our breath, cause us indeed to be concerned, that in those moments, which maybe some of us feel even more acutely right now, when we're in the throes of hurt or pain or trepidation or uncertainty or simply fear, and I know what that's like, maybe you do as well. This is good news. Here's some good news. That within this concerning vision of Daniel, there is a powerful testimony about a God who reigns and a God who rules over all powers and over all authorities. And this Most High God who is on his throne has the only authority to judge. And these beasts that are the manifestation of evil, those who thirst for power, those who attempt to display might, those who boast and persecute and seek to uproot and seek to terrify, these who are the utter manifestation of depravity and are synonymous with things that are anti-Christ like, they will be judged. Powers will be stripped away. Destruction is their destiny. Because we know of one who is not just like a son of man. We know the son of man, and we know his name is Jesus. And this Jesus, he came into this depraved, sin-stained world, and yet he kept God's will perfectly. And so he died on the cross as a sinless sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. And this Jesus overcame the grave, overcame the final enemy, the enemy of death. And he rose again, securing life in his name so that the sin that of ours will no longer be ours. We can be forgiven and will no longer have a grip on you or on me because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus has done. God has given him the authority, given him the glory, given him the sovereign power over all to rule. And he is the one who is worthy of our praise. He's the one who is worthy of our worship because God has placed all things under his feet, all his kingdom, this kingdom that you and I are welcome into, the kingdom of Christ, is an everlasting kingdom that is ours now and forever. That is good news indeed, yes? And yet there's still something that gets me in this passage. I mean, I believe everything I just said. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. I believe what we said about God. I believe what we said about evil being defeated. I believe about the work of Jesus. Praise God for that. I believe in the promise and the hope of the eternal kingdom. I believe in all of that, and I hope you do as well. And yet here's Daniel. And he saw this, and he heard the interpretation. He recognizes that evil and depraved powers will be judged, will come to an end, and God's everlasting kingdom is going to come, will be inherited by the saints. He sees all this, he hears all this, and yet there's still verse 28. It's still out there. My question is, why after all of this is he still deeply troubled in his thoughts? Why is there both physical and emotional indicators that he is still concerned? I don't know about you, but when I first glance at that verse, that is a little troubling to my spirit. Maybe you as well. That I could say it's concerning. But then I wonder if maybe it's not as much
concerning as it is comforting. That I can relate to Daniel, and Daniel does relate to me. Because when I see Daniel and I think about him, he's the one who sees the vision with his own eyes. He's the one who hears the interpretation with his own ears. And even with that powerful good news testimony before him, it's not that Daniel doesn't believe in it. It's that the reality for Daniel, this ultimate victory that he has shown, for Daniel has not yet come. He knows how things are going to go. He has a vivid vision and gives incredible glimpses about what is going to happen, but it's not yet happened for him. And we think about that in terms of history, right? Historically, that's true for Daniel. Those kingdoms have not yet come in power. The things that he saw have not yet taken place. And so what is promised to Daniel is just that. It is a promise. He's still living in the reality of the muck where depravity is rearing its ugly head and doing so in what seems to be an overwhelming force. And so here's where Daniel's concern might be comforting for us. Because for you and I, the reality is that we live in history on the other side of the rise and fall of those kingdoms. We can read about their stories in what we would call now ancient history books. But for you and me, right now, today, in this moment, the names of those kingdoms have changed. The personification of a boastful little horn has changed, but it's the same depravity we live within. There is still within us right now, today, within this world, there's still the collision of the values of the kingdom of God and the values of the kingdom of the world. And that battle still rages on with the same ferocity that we see evidenced here in the beasts of Daniel's vision. The same prideful boast, the same antagonism, the same tricks are still applied today. They're just using different forms and different mechanisms and different mediums. And you and I today, we know how the story is going to end. We know the authority of the Ancient of Days. We know the work of the Son of Man. We know evil will be destroyed and we will inherit an everlasting kingdom. We know that this is resolved. But just like Daniel, for us in this moment, it's not here yet. We are living right now in unresolved times. And like Daniel, we are living in this in-between. We already know it's not yet happened. And within life's current realities, there are things that concern us greatly, and they should concern us. Friends, the values of the kingdom of the world are not the same as the values of the kingdom of God. That is concerning. And so maybe there's a little bit of comfort in sharing in the concern of Daniel this morning. But not such a deep concern that it would dampen the proclamation of good news. Good news that is already ours, just not yet in its fullness. Here's a final piece of verse 28 that I find fascinating. Would you look at the very last words of chapter 7 of verse 28? It says, "I kept this matter to myself." Now, that's fair. I mean, that's fine that that's there, but there is just one little thing. At some point, Daniel didn't keep it to himself, did he? I mean, the very fact that we have a chapter 7 in the book of Daniel, I think, testifies to that. So at some point, even in the midst of his concern, Daniel shared about this vision. He wrote down the substance of it. Does that mean we have everything? I don't know. Who knows? He says the substance, but he shared what needed to be shared, and this is what he said. Yeah, there's troubling things that are all around us, very concerning things. And even though we know good news, we can still be troubled by them. It's okay to be concerned now in the moment because things right now are hard, things right now are scary, things right now are unresolved. You want to hear it again? Right now, we're living in this unresolved time. But this passage gives us a glimpse where it's going to go.
It will not always be like this. Our God is the Ancient of Days. He sits on his throne. His kingdom is everlasting, and it will come and it will be for his saints, and it will be ruled by the Son of Man now and forever. And so Daniel's concern today and what we're going to see throughout this month is that in his concern, we can be encouraged. We can be encouraged. We can have comfort. We can continue on because it's going to be okay. We can trust in the name of our God, for our God is the Ancient of Days. It will be resolved. Amen. Let's pray together. God, sometimes it just feels like a lot. That there is so much that is swirling about that it's hard to even know which way is up. It's hard to know which way is forward and for how long that's going to be. God, we're just going to name this morning, it is not fun to live in the unresolved moments. It's really concerning. And even though we can relate to Daniel and maybe even find some comfort in that connection, we just name, God, it is hard. And so, God, we praise you and we find our hope in you, that you are the sovereign God. You are seated on your holy throne. You are the one to whom all things belong. You are the one who is in control, even when it seems like all is spinning out of control. As it says in Psalm 16, we know the Lord is always with us, so we will not be shaken, for you are right beside us. So even when things are unresolved, our hearts can be glad and we can rejoice, for we rest in your safety. God, we bless you and we praise you, our sovereign Lord and King. You are the Ancient of Days, and once again we declare we find our rest in you. God, not only are you sovereign, but also you are compassionate. And so we pray to you. We pray for the matters of this world. We pray for the matters of this nation, for our communities, and even within the churches, those things that are unsettled and unresolved that cause us concern. God, in your loving providence, would you bring about your will, your way, you for your good, for your glory, for your praise. God, we pray this morning for those in need, those who do not have a voice, those who slip through the cracks, those who are impacted by decisions or the lack thereof. We pray for healing in relationships with one another, within families, within friend groups, within homes, and especially in relationship with you. And so, God, we pray in that relationship with you, where there is error in our ways, may the Spirit convict, and then would you lead us to restoration so that we might evermore bear the image of Christ's righteousness and be whole in our relationship with you. God, as we pray for healing, we also pray for physical healing, for Gerald and for Denny and for others who recover from surgeries or illnesses this day. And God, we also, in prayer, pray prayers of celebration for Joel and Sam and Judah as they welcome little Vivian into their home. For Thomas and Morgan, who were united in marriage yesterday together. For the gift of a home for Nathan and Natalie and the opportunity to join together in serving them and others to this end. And God, we pray a prayer of celebration for the simple and wonderful gift of living in covenant community together. What a gift it is as we are bound together by your love shown to us through Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.